Last month, the Enbridge Energy Company received approval from the Minnesota courts to continue with its plan to complete the rebuild of their Line 3 oil pipeline, connecting the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, to the Enbridge terminal in Superior. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent. And we're talking about a proposal for 340 miles of new pipe that is already 60% complete, valued at $4 billion. But this new pipeline is taking a more circuitous path through Minnesota on its way to Superior, where more protesters were arrested over this past holiday weekend. Do you support the completion of Line 3? Would you rather speak out on behalf of the protesters? And if energy companies are using native lands or resources, what role should our native nations play in shaping our energy future? We'll take your calls at 1-800-642-1234, and you can email us ideas@wpr.org. We are up on the Twitter as well at WPR Mornings. Our guest is Paul Demain, Chair of Honor of the Earth's Board of Directors. The organization opposes Enbridge Energy's Line 3 pipeline placement. Paul's a member of the Oneida Nation. He lives in the Lac-Couturier Ojibwe Reservation near Hayward. And Paul, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you were at the Welcome Center along the Mississippi, where, along with the protesters, where the construction is continuing for the Enbridge Line 3. Can you just give us some idea of what's going on there today, what you saw over the weekend, and what you expect to take place next?
Well, the Mississippi Water Protectors Welcome Center is one of two of the eight or nine camps and facilities, organizations that have hosting sites in northern Minnesota. So I spent most of my 4th of July weekend on the Shell River looking at that particular river and stopped at the Mississippi Water Protectors Welcome Center on the way back. You want to remember you have a 340-mile pipeline route, and you have several different types of camps there. Some of our resistance direct action camps, some are camps sponsored by tribal governments. Some of the camps, like the two that I help oversee, are overseen by Honor the Earth and environmental organizations, and we're host organizations. So what I saw was a lot of people getting educated about treaty rights and uses so that they can function as diplomats. And we had people from Wisconsin at the Shell River this weekend, where the activities were up and around Park Rapids in Hubbard County. There are 17 county jurisdictions, so things are a little bit different in each county, very much unlike the Dakota Access protest, where Enbridge had worked from two directions to the Missouri River, and there was one river crossing that they had to get across. They have to get across 22 major rivers, yet they have to get across a couple hundred wetlands with Army Corps permits for drilling. And so that's the hard haul of this pipeline. So when Enbridge says they're 60% done, they've done the easy drop of the lines and the excavation and so forth, but they got some heavy lifting to do to get the last components of this in. And since November 15th, approximately, when they were got their Minnesota permits and the last permits they needed, and there's a whole process that's appealable, the Public Utilities Commission, the Minnesota Department of Commerce, the Minnesota Department of Waste Discharge Control, and various other agencies, and then the Army Corps permit, which it was incompleted, which ends up being the problem. The Trump administration under the Army Corps of Engineers waives the environmental impact statement component of the Army Corps of Engineers, which is the federal authority. And so outside of all the other arguments, the global warming, the 115 degrees in Seattle with roadways buckling and bridges melting and tar melting and other things, you ask the question at that point, if Seattle is crumbling and has millions of dollars of damage from a 115 degree heat wave in June, what is it going to be like in July and August? And what is it going to be like next year when it hits 122 or 124? So I don't think we have to discuss the impacts of global warming. We see them around them on a daily, around ourselves on a daily basis. We look at the destruction of what's occurred in Calgary, Alberta, to the Chippewa Cree lands on that end as those dirty tar sands come through the United States. And we look at the damage at Kalamazoo or in Rusk County, Wisconsin, Wisconsin's largest Enbridge oil spill that most people don't know about because it was in the middle of the woods in the middle of nowhere. And we look at the other 300 leaks along those routes, or the 33 on line 3 in Minnesota that was in and around Indian reservations. And the Indian reservations, the Ojibwe Nation, 1863 at Red Lake, 1855 with Mille Lacs, Leech Lake, Gull Lake, East Lake, and White Earth, who didn't want the line on their reservation anymore, despite the fact that it brings lots of economic income and benefits from a foreign corporation in Canada when they settle. You know, people have had enough and are concerned about this, from the Mackinac to the Bad River to Kalamazoo to Alberta. So that's a little bit about, you know, the hub of everything. And within Minnesota, there are people that feel there were deficiencies in the consultation process.
But Paul, give me a second, if I can, to just sort of provide the perspective, according to Enbridge Energy, that they have an old line three, that the line three, as it was originally installed, was corrosive, and that corrosion could cause some concerns for other oil leaks, and therefore line three needs to be replaced. Now, the path that it is taking through Minnesota is a new path that seems to go around or bypass an isthmus between two lakes, which may provide for a little more, I don't know, environmental protection for a pipeline. So the opposition for Enbridge Line 3, how do you put that in the context from the energy company's call for safety and protection to create a new one to replace the old Line 3?
Well, the line three, the lines are corrosive because of the dirty tar sands. You know, they pull it out of the earth and it costs $90 a barrel, and nobody in the United States, which is domestically independent of Canadian oil and everybody else's, wants to pay $90 for a barrel when you can frack it in Montana at 70 or pump it out of Oklahoma at 55. So we're basically a bypass route. It's not just avoiding two lakes. It's 340 miles long. It's not on any of the current Indian reservations that have easements, because people are tired of having to get bottled water delivered to their home. They're tired of emergency warnings. They're tired of evacuations. They're tired of thinking about what is going to happen to their wild rice and everything else. Enbridge's Line 3 had the largest oil spill in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, about 20 years back, when it went under another name and changed their name so you wouldn't know it was the same company. But that spill up there led to a reduction in the pressure in Line 3. And Line 3 is the safest line that Enbridge now operates. Even though in the system, I mean, people in Jefferson County understand very well that when Enbridge had a leak there and didn't report it for 15 months, and they reported it as 1.5 gallon leak, and now it's at 1,600, and they're restudying and asked the question, how can you have a leak of a couple thousand gallons of petroleum products and nothing goes off? Well, on the Enbridge grid, Enbridge can lose 91,000 gallons of product a day. It's called shrinkage in the maple syrup industry, and no alarms will go off. That's a daily basis figure on their entire grid that's going into the system, in addition to the spills. So when you say they want to reroute an unsafe pipeline, yes, it had the biggest leak, but Enbridge is running their pipes at 115, 125%. They've been pumping up the pump sites all the way through Wisconsin last year to jam more of this tar sands, because it comes out as peanut butter. They got to send dilutant north in order to thin it out. When it leaks, it drops to the bottom of lakes like it did in rivers, like it did in the Kalamazoo, and it cost them a couple extra $1 billion. Now, Enbridge added $1.1 billion to the project a couple weeks ago because of delays. I wish I had $1.1 billion to take out of my back pocket like chump change and put into the opposition to this, because if regulators in the system work, they would have heard the 78,000 people that oppose this pipeline in Minnesota, compared to the 17,000 people who said they wanted it, that Enbridge organized and gave t-shirts and bought into. This company has operated in the Great Lakes for 50 years, and in the last 2 years, they have thrown money everywhere at every community. There was a dispute in Hayward over the Burke combiner donation because they didn't want it anymore. Butch Johnson of Timber Company pulled his money because he's a Republican donor that likes pipelines. He's got all the Enbridge routes on his property. So they've caused a lot of controversy impacting tribal politics, trying to get tribal chairmen unelected and thrown out of office. This is a foreign corporation that has bought water policy in the Great Lakes, and you need to look at all the components to understand why it's just not a replacement pipe. They could run line 3 at 60%. What we've learned is if they run their pipes at the capacity they were built for, they run safer. But when you keep trying to jam more product into it so you can make more, you know, nobody in Calgary, Alberta, Canada needs to make any more money. They've been billionaires.
Would you rather, Paul, would you rather see this tar sands being shipped by trucks or trains if there could be no line 3 altogether for Enbridge Energy?
We don't need the dirtiest product on earth. We don't need tar sands. Nobody in the United States is reliant on tar sands. So I don't want it shipped at all. I don't want Canadian oil. I don't want tar sands oil that Canadian citizens don't want in their country because they're afraid it will wreck their water systems. Their laws are a lot more tighter. You can come to the United States and get a permit just by showering politicians, business people, unions with money, which they've done. They have spent billions of dollars buying and hijacking United States Great Lakes water policies, and we're going to oppose that.
We're talking about Enbridge Energy's Line 3 replacement pipeline leading to Superior. Our guest is an opponent, Paul DeMaine. He's the chair of Honor the Earth's Board of Directors. And we have the regulators who have given approval now and have acknowledged that there is credible arguments on both sides as to whether or not this Line 3 rebuild is, or if this Line 3 is necessary for energy purposes. But what about the economy, Paul?
There's jobs. There's thousands of jobs in the green energy economy if we get there. There are thousands of communities, including Palisade, Minnesota, just south of the Line 3, that don't have clean running water. If people want to build pipelines, go to Flint, Michigan, and redo the water system there so people have clean water. It's about clean water. You know, yesterday, Winona LaDuc from Honor the Earth filed a legal brief or a lawsuit in federal court somewhere, I don't know where it is, saying that the Shell River has a right to live, that a foreign corporation doesn't have a right. You know, for example, let's look at their engineering. They applied for 520 million gallons of water use, got their permit in November. Well, 2 weeks ago, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources granted them a change in the permit from 520 million gallons to 485 billion gallons in the middle of a drought,
Paul,
because they made a mistake.
Yeah, stop right there, because it's an amazing story and it goes to the heart of where Enbridge Line 3 may be heading, to Superior. Our guest is Paul DeMaine, and our conversation continues along with you at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Do you support or oppose the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline replacement project? Paul DeMaine continues with us. I'm Lee Rayburn. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. More arrests reported over the weekend along the route of Enbridge Energy's construction of Line 3. There have been hundreds of arrests of protesters over this past month. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and those opposed to Enbridge's new route for their Line 3 have vowed to continue to fight. Russ Bennett from Madison was one of those protesting in Minnesota last month.
I believe in the science of climate change. I believe that we are largely responsible for it, and we are largely the ones that are needing to change the way we live.
Bennett told WPR he wants President Biden to shut down the pipeline. Do you think the president should get involved like he did with the Keystone XL pipeline? Also, if you are a member of our native tribes, I really want to know how you see sovereignty in these United States. 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Paul DeMaine is chair of the Honor the Earth Board of Directors and a member of the Oneida Nation. He's also the former editor of Indian Country News and has been along the construction route over this past week and dating back for a while now. We left you, Paul, with a story about Enbridge earlier this month being granted a modification to their water permit with an error that they were granted originally 520 million gallons. That has been expanded to 485,000 billion. Can you explain what this water is doing, what Enbridge is trying to do with this permit?
Yeah, you said thousand and billion, but it was 425 million gallons to 485 billion gallons. And they said it was an engineering error that they occurred. They paid a $150 fine, and the Minnesota DNR pretty much notified the tribes about the results. So that's how, look at, in this process, there's a thing called the environmental impact statement, which the Trump administration waived because they wanted to get jobs. And I understand that. I have cousins and relatives working for Enbridge. I have law enforcement relatives that are on that side of the aisle. They need jobs and so forth. We're not trying to deprive people of jobs. We're trying to create new energy jobs. That's but the responsibility of our organization. That's our original intent. The thing is that when we look at what the foreign corporation is doing and how it's influenced the politics of the Great Lakes area, it's an issue where if you've got lots of money, you're up against a Goliath, and we are David's trying to fight the big the black snake is what they call it. But let's look at this. You don't have meaningful consultation with tribal nations under their contracts and their reservation of usufructuary rights by having a coffee in downtown Hayward or someplace else and say, let's talk about the line. And they don't consult at the county level or the township level. And generally, they don't participate in the state level. Their level was at the Army Corps of Engineers with an environmental impact statement was waived in order to get the project in for jobs by the Trump administration. And it's a Trump administration problem that's helped create the situation.
Do you think President Biden should get involved, Paul?
Biden should get involved, yes.
All right. I also want to get a call in here if we could quickly. Jeff in Delafield, you are on the morning show with Paul DeMaine.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. For the most part, I agree with the comments about climate change and the potential for pollution of the pipeline. But I like what you said about possibly running it at 60% and making the existing pipeline safe. But I question the desire for putting wind turbines and solar panels all over the landscape. Aside from the potential for a leak, how is that any less obtrusive than an oil pipeline? And I guess I wonder, why aren't we emphasizing more native landscapes and trees and grasslands and converting some of our farmland to uses that will absorb carbon as opposed to more and more wind turbines and solar panels, which to me are not that attractive? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Paul?
Well, first of all, the United States barely uses any of these products, and nobody's trying to deprive anyone from frying their eggs on the UP by changing a foreign oil, a foreign company, requiring them to take their product through their own country. Again, why would you want to buy a barrel of oil at $90, which is dirty, which is explosive, which is one of the most dirtiest products that comes out of the earth? And it's not like we're trying to shut down the pipelines. We like to eliminate the dirtiest of the product to get it out of the system because global warming is an issue. The filth of the product, the fact that we don't use a lot of those products in the United States, we're mainly a flow through. Why do we want to pay $90 a barrel when we frack it at 70 and pump it out of Oklahoma at 55? This is basically a shortcut through the United States for a lot of their products to go to Canada and Sarnia on line 5 and down to other refineries in Texas so they can be exported to poor countries, use monetary fund monies to get it. So, you know, there are so many different ways we can get our energy, but we have to reduce our carbon footprint. Each one of us has to do things that reduce our carbon footprint and use less energy while we convert. And it's possible. It's the technology is already there in hundreds of different ways. And if we put the kind of money into research for new energy, we wouldn't be trying to, you know, people are trying to drive a Model A around and they take their 8-track to put it into a modern new car and it doesn't exist. Those things, it's old technology, it's old economy.
Paul DeMaine, let me reintroduce you here, chair of the Honor the Earth's Board of Directors and a member of the Oneida Nation. He is the former editor of Indian Country News. We have been talking about the protests over Line 3 that is making its way to Superior through Minnesota through a more circuitous route. But Paul, you also mentioned Line 5, Enbridge connection to Line 5 and the lawsuits that are entailed at the Bad River in Wisconsin and Mackinac Straits in Michigan. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Everybody along this route, many, many people, not everybody, there's a lot of people that buy into it because they've bought every Indian that's purchasable. They've done contracts. They've showered our communities with money. Everybody can tell you about the ads and everything else. But I want to get something now back to something else real quickly. If there's meaningful consultation with Indian tribes, this might not have happened either. They had a right to be heard at the Army Corps of Engineers to protect the public lands that they take resources out. You're in a drought in northern Minnesota. The rice beds are dying because of lack of water, and a foreign corporation buys its way into 480 billion gallons of water at a time when the Shell River is dying. The clams are trying to get out of their beds and go to the middle of the lake. You got algae blooms in June when they usually come in late August. There are inherent rights that living things have. And when you put that up against the corporations in the United States that are seen and have individual rights, the rights of the Shell River and other rivers in Minnesota have a right to live and provide the food and economic activity that Indian tribes have reserved. That meaningful consultation is not taking place. This is like a declaration of war. Screw off, tribes. A foreign corporation with money can buy their policy, and tribes and wild rice and rivers have no rights when it comes to a $1 billion foreign corporation.
Paul DeMain, for those who are listening to you this morning and are nodding along in consent or agreement, what can they do?
Stopline3.org. Is the main site to go to for information. There are churches, there are environmental organizations in our community from Milwaukee, all over the state, all over the world, all over the United States. The globe is watching how the U.S. treats its indigenous people. The world is looking what it's going to do to be a leader, getting into renewable energy and getting rid of the old technology that's the Model A and the dirtiest of the dirtiest of the dirtiest oil in the world. Let's get rid of that first. Then we can work on fracking and other things and make the conversion. There are plenty of good paying jobs in the renewable energy sector. Let's get on with the new technology and try to save our earth, because at 115 degrees, when it goes to 125, Seattle, Washington isn't going to survive. They didn't survive the last heat wave.
Paul,
we've got to put an end to it.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Paul DeMain, chair of the Honor the Earth Board of Directors and a member of the United Nation. Just ahead, we discuss Memento Mori. Do you know what that is? We'll explain. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.